Blog Talk Radio.
From Dog Works Training Centers, Professional Canine Training Center in Denver, Colorado, this is the Dog Doctor. Committed to families and their dogs to build lifelong and fulfilling relationships. Visit our website at dogdoctorradio.com. The Dog Doctor is part of Twine Group Media and syndicated worldwide on blogtalkradio.com. Now here is your host, Dr. Robert Forto, the Dog Doctor.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Robert Forto coming to you live from Denver Dog Works. It is May 15th, a beautiful Saturday morning, and I'm here with my co-host and business partner, Michelle. How are you today?
I'm wonderful. Looking forward to our topic today.
It should be a very interesting topic. But before we get into that, do we have any news and notes at the world of Denver Dog Works?
We do. At Denver Dog Works, I'd like to proudly announce that Alaric, a puppy that you and I bred not quite 2 years ago, has been brought back out of the puppy raiser program, and he has been successfully placed with a new client, and he will be performing psychiatric service work. So we're really excited about that for him.
You know, this is the first day that I worked with him today, and he's doing pretty well from being at the puppy raiser for a year now.
Yeah, I was impressed. I mean, he's got his rusty spots, but that's okay.
I think he'll do very good in the new family, so we'll see how it goes. It's going to be several months before he is eventually placed, but his training will go off without a hitch, I believe.
I believe so, too.
Anything else?
A couple of things. You have just completed your press kit, and you're going to be looking at doing some different types of things other than what we normally do at Denver Dog Works and via the Dog Doctor radio show, more based on our other business called the Twine Group, which is, you know, our radio show is done with Twine Group Media, but you are going to be offering performance talks to athletic departments, high school students, even some colleges, and I think that you're really looking forward to doing that.
Looking forward to it. You just need to get me some connections.
But, I know. I'm a little slow on that part.
That's okay. If you are interested in having a one-of-a-kind talk in relating to sports performance and leadership, give us a call, 303-578-9881. You are listening to the Dog Doctor Radio Show, as we said at the intro. And if you have any questions or comments, make sure you shoot us an email at live@dogdoctorradio.com. Michelle, what do we have on topic today? I know that you have been very interested in this. You met this gentleman at the Furry Scurry a couple of weeks ago, and he has written a fabulous book that you can purchase right on the Blog Talk Radio website on our page. And the book is called Beezer and Boomer. Tell us a little bit about that before we introduce Doug.
Well, I would like to say that the Furry Scurry is always an interesting event. We usually always meet somebody that we can make a connection with. And Doug set up his little tent diagonal from our tent, and I was very interested. He had some really good signage, and it piqued my interest just based on that. And I'm always looking for an author for us to interview on the Dog Doctor Radio Show. And his book, The Legacy of Beezer and Boomer, Lessons on Living and Dying from My Canine Brothers, was very interesting to me. As you know, Robert, I don't do a lot of reading. I simply just don't have the time, and quite honestly, I read a little slower than most people. I really like to envelop myself into the book and learn the author and learn the situation. And getting to meet Doug hands-on, face-to-face, was something that I really strive to try to do when I read a book. And Doug and I hit it off, and I called him a few days later and said, hey, look, you're a good match for our show. Would you be willing to come on in and, you know, talk to us? And he gave me his book and a press kit, and I have had the book for about 10 days. And, you know, this is a 42-chapter book, which sounds like it's a lot, but the chapters are easy to read. He comes across as a very friendly, loving person, and I just happened to only get halfway through the book. I got through part one, which is all about Beezer, and there's some things in there about Boomer, but I haven't read about Boomer yet, so I'm looking forward to finishing up the book.
So the author's name is Doug Katavi. He is a self-employed attorney here in Denver, and also a man bred from the same cloth as I. I was a hockey player for many years, and I am jealous that he played in college up in Minnesota. I spent several years up there in Duluth, so I call that home. And Doug has also competed in several triathlons, and he is a moderator of several Yahoo groups, including the Canine Kidney Diet Yahoo group, the Bone Cancer Dogs Yahoo group, and is on the board of directors of the Bone Cancer Dogs Incorporated, a New Jersey nonprofit corporation. He is also a volunteer at Safe Harbor Labrador Rescue. He enjoys biking, running, and taking quiet walks with his new dog, Dory. So, Doug, are you there?
I am. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
Oh, it's a wonderful Saturday morning, and I'm thrilled to be on the show.
Well, thank you very much for taking the time with us. We're very informal here, and I apologize. We don't typically do phone-in interviews. I'm dealing with Mac and GarageBand and Skype all at the same time. So for our listeners out there, if it sounds a little froggy, that's the reason why. But just turn up those headphones or those speakers a little bit, and you should be able to hear us just fine. Doug, you sound good on our end. Tell us a little bit about, other than what I've already mentioned, what are you all about?
Well, what I'm all about is trying to help people with aging and sick animals. Although my book is about my dogs, it applies to cats, birds, bunnies, horses, you name it. It has to do with the bond, the human-animal bond that exists in a companion-animal-human relationship. And my book occupies the very difficult and challenging space between a difficult diagnosis at the veterinarian's office and that last, hardest goodbye. I found that very, very challenging for me, and that's what I wrote the book about.
And you know, Doug, I'm going through that right now. My best buddy in the world, his name is Aneke. He's 12 years old, and our listeners know all about him. We talk about him all the time. And you know, he's getting up there in age, and I tell you what, I've shed many a tear thinking about, you know, the world without him. And I haven't had a chance to read your book yet. I can't get it out of Michelle's paws yet. But I tell you what, I know exactly what you're talking about, and you know, it's a tough thing, but I believe the lessons in your book should be able to not only help out others, but help out me as well.
Well, I think so, and I certainly hope so. When the Beezer got sick, I experienced a large number of emotions that I was unable to control. They included anger, frustration, fear, guilt, depression. And frankly, I was a bit astonished about my utter lack of control over how I felt. And it even morphed into physical problems related to high blood pressure. Well, I did some digging and checked around, and I found out all this stuff has a name. And it's called anticipatory grief, which is quite simply grieving about a loss that has not yet occurred. And that fit me to an absolute T. So I continued to hunt around, and I found that all the books dealing with pet loss were written after the fact. In other words, after the animal had passed. Well, I've done death before in my life. I understand that. This was completely different. The dying was very, very difficult on me, and I also found the tension between treating the illness and also the fear of being unsuccessful at it was also leading to my anticipatory grief. So I ultimately couldn't find any help with the subject. So I ordered several books off the internet and kept copious notes, and which became the spine of my book, and wrote The Legacy of Beezer and Boomer so others could share in my lessons. I don't want anybody to have to go through this experience alone, because I know it hurts.
It does. And I recall a book that I read a little while ago. It was a fiction book. It was called The Art of Racing in the Rain. Have you had a chance to read that one?
It's on my short list. It's a wonderful book, I've heard.
It was written a few years ago, and it was very similar to this. It was about a dog named Enzo, and his owner, of course, was struggling with all sorts of things that life brings about. And one of the things that he struggled with the most was Enzo getting too old and getting ready to pass. And it said exactly what you just said, how we struggle with our pet's loss and what we need to not only learn from it, but also to be able to do it a little bit easier. So my first question to you, I know you're a hockey player, and I follow hockey like crazy. My first question, not to get too much off the topic, but who's going to win the cup this year?
Well, it's just so darn intriguing because you've got a battle of two opposites in the Western Conference and the Eastern Conference. I think right now I'll go with Chicago. I think they've got their act together.
You know, I've liked Chicago for years, and I'm kind of rooting a little bit for the Canadiens. They haven't been there in a while, but that's a storied franchise if you've ever heard of one. And, I'm just ticked off that we have DirecTV and they don't have Versus on here, so I got to watch it all on the Internet.
Oh, boy. Well, there's going to be a good one tonight, so.
I'll try to catch a little bit of it, that's for sure. So into that, your two dogs, Beezer and Boomer, are actually named after a couple of hockey players. One that I'm very fond of, the goalie that took Beezer's name, and as well as one of the Canadians from Boomer. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct. Beezer's named after a goalie who just retired a few years ago by the name of John Van Beesbrook. And he was, for all your Colorado listeners, he was the goalie for the Florida Panthers when the Avalanche first won the Cup in 95. And then Boomer is named for Bernie Boom Boom Jeffrion, who is one of the all-time greats with the Montreal Canadiens that you just mentioned.
Right.
It's hockey roots for my boys.
There you go. So Michelle has some questions for you. I'm going to turn over the mic for a few minutes to her, and let's see if we can teach some people about this very difficult subject, okay?
Sounds great.
First of all, Doug, thank you very much for agreeing to do our small little radio show. You'd be surprised. We have a lot of listeners from around the world, and, I really honestly believe on my first impression with you that the book was going to be able to help a lot of people, because there's a lot of books out there about how to deal with the death of your pet, past tense. But there isn't a lot about how to deal with present tense, dying of my pet. And The Art of Racing in the Rain is written from Enzo's perspective, the dog's perspective. So as if Beezer was writing to you. Like in the book, you really talk about pet communicators, which I was really, we're skeptical being dog trainers about pet communicators, and the way that you described how your relationship was with these two wonderful women really brought about to me thinking that, you know what, I think I might be contacting one to help Robert and Aneke both take each other to the Rainbow Bridge. But I would like to ask you some specific questions that you pass along to me to help us out. What's the book about in your eyes?
Well, the book is about my fear and guilt when I could not, and really is a metamorphosis of me. My fear and guilt when my furry family members got sick. The book begins with Beezer's illness, and he was diagnosed with fatal kidney disease at age 9. And the book details really my frantic efforts to control the disease, to change the outcome. You've got to remember, I set out to have our own Lance Armstrong type of recovery over this. And then ultimately my reluctant acceptance of the outcome when I realized the universe simply had some different plans, which didn't include didn't include me in terms of changing the outcome. That's the first half of the book. Later on, his brother Boomer was diagnosed with bone cancer. So I applied the lessons from Beezer's illness, and I actually found peace and acceptance during Boomer's illness and his journey. So it's a sad topic, end of life, but it's hardly a sad book. It's actually very uplifting, enlightening, and inspiring in its message.
I absolutely agree. I mean, when I was reading this, I thought, okay, I got to prepare myself. I've dealt with the death of animals and of people, and I thought, better grab the box of Kleenex when I sit down and read this one. And, you know, so far I haven't needed the box of Kleenex. I mean, I've gone on this roller coaster with you. You tell the story very well, and I want to congratulate you for that, because as a former paralegal, I know attorneys quite well, and you don't come across as dry in one bit at all. hopefully you appreciate that.
Thank you very much.
But I really enjoyed taking the journey with you. I'm familiar with Chatfield Reservoir and Cherry Creek Reservoir, and those of us that live here in Colorado are familiar with the things that people get out there and do with their dogs. But most of all, I really found that the book, to me, and again, I'm only through part one, but what I'm finding is that it's not really about Beezer and Boomer. It's more about what you were learning to find within yourself and facing your own fears and figuring out that, you know, you're the typical egotistical guy and you have to control everything. And these guys, your true friends, came along and said, whoa, it's not about that. There's something more.
There's no question about that. And that's reflected in the title, The Legacy of Beezer and Boomer, because those are the things they left with me. It was nothing short of astonishing to be 47 when Beezer first became ill and have all these foundations that I thought I understood and that I believed in just start crumbling one after another. And to be replaced by these lessons I was learning from my dogs. That one of the very simple ones I talk about, and you're not quite there in the book, so I won't tell you the whole thing, but it's my concept of surrender. And having to realize that surrender does not mean defeat. Surrender simply means to render back to the universe that which you don't control. It was very difficult for me to learn that, and that's just one of the many lessons that I learned from my dogs, because up to then, I'd come from this hockey-playing, rough-and-tumble background and then the legal background, and they're both very good backgrounds, but there's a whole lot more to life, and you can't apply what works in one situation across the board. And I'm very grateful for having the two dogs in my life.
Right. Your background, everything was pretty much black and white, or red, white, and blue, if you know what I mean, on the hockey rink. I'm sure you had your fair share of bruises. But in this, you know, dealing with dogs, it's very gray. There's a lot of in-betweens. And that's what brings me to wanting to talk more about the pet communicators, is how did you feel about that? I mean, you talk about it a little bit in the book about, you know, what are they going to teach me that I can't figure out on my own type of stuff. But seriously, I've been in this industry for 20 years, and pet communication is something that I do believe in is within us all, but you really kind of got to watch out and find the genuinity in the people that are helping you.
Well, there's no question there. And, you know, just by way of illustration, you pick up the paper, and you got to be careful who you invest your money with, because there's some weird stuff going on there. So I don't think this industry is immune to common sense, due diligence kind of things that apply across the board. That said, before Beezer got sick, I never would have, in a million and one years, would have gone to see or talked to an animal communicator. Frankly, I would have probably laughed at it. But as Beezer was increasingly ill and my personal infantry charges on trying to control the disease fell one after another after another, my emotional state subsequently unraveled, and then really I started having some physical problems. I came very close to being hospitalized for a blood pressure issue, and that really kind of bottled me out in terms of battling the universe and realizing that, you know, whatever you're doing, it ain't working, and you've got to try something else, even if it's, no matter what, you've got to try something else because what you're doing isn't working. So I was talking with one of my holistic vets, and, you know, there's a number of holistic veterinarians that, for the proper situations, utilize animal communicators, and this vet suggested a person, and, you know, desperation, I reached out, and that actually started starting a healing process for me and started me looking at the same problem from a wildly different angle, one that I never would have looked at without being placed in such difficulty. So I think with that in mind, a referral from some type of veterinarian or trusted source might be a good piece of advice for people. And then, you know, you should always follow your own inner voice, no matter what. And if something feels right or wrong, you should always honor that inner voice. But it certainly worked for me and opened up my eyes to a whole new set of possibilities.
Do you still use the pet communicator with Coral and Dory?
I had been using the communicator with Coral, and Coral, bless her little heart, she passed on a couple weeks ago and is now with the Bee Brothers. And I will share one neat little story while we're on the topic. Coral had suffered from kidney disease, just like Beezer. And one of the things you want to do with kidney dogs is try and get a significant amount of fluid in them because it flushes the toxins out. So you always want a kidney dog to drink water and drink water. And a number of months back, I happened to be talking with the communicator just about Coral's food, I think. I think it was something a little bit unrelated. And while talking about the food, the communicator blurted in, she doesn't want to talk about food. She wants to talk about her water. What are you doing with her water? She loves it. She wants more of it. Well, I hadn't told anyone this, but what I was doing was spiking Coral's water with a little bit of low-sodium chicken broth to entice her to drink more. And I'd no sooner put a bowl of spiked water down than she'd lap it up completely. And that was just something volunteered by the communicator. I got a big chuckle out of that one. And so that's something I've continued on doing, not quite as frequently because I've learned now to maybe trust my own inner voice, and that's something new, and that's part of the legacy of Beezer and Boomer, is to listen when I think my animals are trying to tell me something. I don't hear with my ears. I kind of feel it with my heart, and I've learned to honor that feeling and trust it.
You know, I think that's the biggest message you're getting across in the book, and that's what makes it so touching. And, you know, to talk about Coral, I am so sorry. You know, my heart goes out to you. One thing I do want to mention about the chicken broth in the water, you know, Robert and I are dog sledders, and that's a trick that we used to do with our racing dogs to get them to drink just before a race so that we knew they had enough water to carry them through the race, you know, for energy and things like that and keep the cramping down. And sometimes dogs just don't want to drink it. And we used to do that spiking with the chicken broth as well. So that's a well-kept secret in the mushing world. So kudos to you there, Doug. I think you should share that with your Yahoo groups. You know, that's something that everybody needs to know about, you know.
It's a good little tip.
Yeah, maybe, you know, I know you're concerned about getting that wizard. Maybe you'll get it then. So how do you think that Beezer and Boomer have changed you for better or for worse? I mean, it sounds like it's definitely for better, and you're educating a vast amount of people not only about how to care for your dog while they're dying, but how to go on and continue to rescue more dogs. I mean, you didn't just give up on this breed. You really enveloped yourself into caring for and participating in rescues and things like that.
Well, there's no question. The boys have changed me for much more for the better. There's no going back, nor would I want to. I've got a beautiful rescue girl by the name of Dory right now. She's 2 years old. A black lab, and I'm just having the time of my life with Dory. I think some of the lessons that I learned from the dogs that changed me, I kind of call them the three P's. And the first one I'd like to talk about is the word permission, because this is what we're talking about is all about the bond that we share with our animals. And sometimes I think people can be placed in by loved ones, friends, perhaps unwittingly even, you know, it's just a dog or just a cat, let's, you know, get over it. Well, it's not. For some of us, pets are our family members, and this is a very personal loss. Pets keep our secrets. They keep secrets that we don't tell human beings. For me, I went through the pain of a divorce. Well, I told my dogs about it. If I had a bad day at work, I talked to my dogs about it. And heck, just being alone on another Friday night and feeling unloved, well, my dogs were there to tell me they cared. And they never judged me, criticized me, or rejected me. And all I ever wanted to do when they became ill was try and live up to the standard that they set. And so the first peer principle is permission to feel a loss deeply and openly. And for kind of a traditionally closed-off guy like I was, that's a big step, and thanks to the Bee Brothers. The next P is what I call purpose. And purpose is why the pets are in our lives. Well, all the lessons in the legacy of Beezer and Boomer are from the dogs. They're the only teachers I think this 47-year-old stubborn, egotistical guy would have listened to. I also believe that pets' short lives, there's so much has been written and speculated on about the short lives of pets and how perhaps unfair that is. Well, I think it's just the opposite. I think their short lives are to teach us to love unconditionally and let go. That it's sad, but it's okay. And finally, I think the universe has a sense of humor. If I can do this, anybody can, especially all your listeners out there. So the second principle from the Bee Brothers is purpose. The third, and maybe the most important one, is power. There's just a huge amount of personal power in the legacy of Beezer and Boomer. It can be summarized in three words: don't be afraid. And for me, at the start of the book, as you've read, I was anything but in that place. The dogs taught me that fear lives out in the future, a future that hasn't occurred. Conversely, guilt lives in the past. It happened yesterday, it's over with. My safety zone is today, the here and now. Nothing bad ever happened in the moment. And that was the biggest power that I learned from the legacy of Beezer and Boomer. And it's not only affected how I look at loss of a pet, but it's applied lessons on a much deeper level throughout my life. Because certainly in my business world, and for most of us, it's easy to get entangled in fear about what's coming next and guilt about what happened yesterday. So there's a great deal of personal power, again, all taught by the dogs, that's contained in the book, and I'm very, very grateful to the Bee Brothers for those lessons.
You know, Doug, I agree with you 100%. One of your questions says, who would benefit from the book? And your answers are pet owners who just got a difficult diagnosis, or most of us would give anything to help a friend or family member struggling with an aging or ill pet. You know what? I think that you need to add a third one, because I think that your book can help anyone going through a crisis of this magnitude, and that is the dealing of a loved one who is dying. I don't think it needs to be a pet that they're losing. It could be, you know, a sister or a mother or a father or a brother or a son or a daughter. I think that your book really can open up everybody's eyes and bring us into that perspective that you just talked about with your three P's.
I certainly hope so. And what I had always tried from the beginning was to aim at something, so I hit something. But Dr. Robert would agree, you got to get that puck something happens. So I came to the book at pet owners.
Doug, were you doing hockey references?
I'm sorry?
Doing hockey references?
Exactly, a few hockey references.
I don't play hockey, Doug. I'm from California. We didn't even have hockey when I was in school.
All right. Well, then we'll skip that part. And,
I'm just teasing you. I was just trying to lighten it up a little bit.
There we go. So, yeah, I agree. I think it's bigger than pet owners. It's just a good place to start because there's no resource for that's where we're going to start, and we'll see where we end up.
Yeah, well, like I said, you need to add one more to your list, because I really think that your book can reach out and be beneficial across all lines. And that brings me to one of my next things. I mentioned to you when we met about an author that her name was Melissa Joseph. And she wrote a book about her therapy dog, Moments with Baxter. Well, Baxter was, help me out, Robert, 18. He passed this last October, and that was about 5 weeks after we met him. And his job in Baxter was to go into a hospice in San Diego, California. And he did that from the age of 2 until he was 19 when he died. He was doing his job the day that he died. And his legacy is very extraordinary. And I think of him when I read how you described Beezer. Beezer would have made a wonderful therapy dog, because he was willing to take on a person's weight, all of their stress, and turn it into something better. And I don't know how you feel or if you're familiar with therapy dogs, but they're really a benefit to a lot of people in need.
There's no question about it. And that goes to the basic premise of the human-animal bond that is now a tenet in veterinary school teaching, is that when humans and companion animals are placed in proximity, the human has a very measurable, positive, physical, and emotional response. It's good to have animals in our lives, and I'm just a strong proponent of those type of programs. You see people's faces light up when an animal comes into the room for a visit, and the bees would have been perfect. Rather than have a whole room full of people, though, he just had an intense one-on-one therapy session with maybe the most stubborn, difficult patient around there. And to his credit, he opened my eyes. So there's no question, the Beezer was my therapy doc.
Absolutely, but I encourage you to go out there on the Dog Doctor Radio Show, shameless plug by me, but listen to that show in particular. I think it might let you see some light at the end of the tunnel for Dory. I mean, you and I spoke about Dory and her needing a job, and I told you that, you know, Robert does tracking, and I think that she would enjoy that very much as a fun job, but she might enjoy being a therapy dog as well. I saw her at the Furry Scurry, and she just gravitated towards me. I don't know if you saw that, but I felt her energy, and she was more than willing to say hello, but remained on a good little sit. She was a very good girl.
She really is something special, and I'm definitely open to whatever the universe wants she and I to do. I'll sign a blank check on that one. She's a very, very neat dog, and I'm enjoying the heck out of having her in my life. And I want to try and make her life as enriching and meaningful as possible.
You know, I think you're one of the better pet parents out there. And Robert just wrote me a note. We've got 5 minutes, so I'm going to have to start wrapping it up. And, you know, I think that you and I and the dog doctor here should sit down over some coffee sometime and really talk about some things that we can do to help you with Dory. But I think that after reading your book, I'm going to tell you point blank, I think that my husband needs to sit down and talk with you and our dog Aneke. I think that he needs that connection, and I would appreciate it very much. So can you let us know how people can get copies of your book? I became a friend of yours and of the fan page on Facebook today. But anything we can do to help you out, including you drop me by a box of books, I'm going to sell them right out of my training center for you.
Well, that's so wonderful. Thank you. People can go to my website, beezerandboomer.com, and order a book. And as a thank you to Dog Doctor Radio, I'll have a special right now for free shipping, and you'll get an autograph.
That sounds wonderful, Doug. And you know what? Our fans are going to appreciate that, too.
Good. It's also at Tattered Cover here in Denver and Bookies as well in Glendale. So the book is available, and I'd just be thrilled to get copies out to folks.
And Doug, this is Robert again. I've been pleasantly quiet during the interview because, as I said, I was struggling. I am struggling through this right now, and I just wanted to sit back and learn from what you had to say. As I said at the beginning, you can even get that book right on our Blog Talk Radio site as well. I think that's actually a link to Amazon, but if people want to buy it, they can buy it through our site, and that will be there forever. Doug, anything you want to close with that you haven't mentioned that you find very important, or just something to talk a little bit more that we can leave our listeners with?
Well, I was astonished to learn that my pet's end of life turned out to be sad, but one of the greatest growth opportunities of my life. It truly was the richest time of my life, and I was never more human than when my dogs were dying and I couldn't do anything about it. And we just settled into the moment, and I took care of my beloved buddies. It's something that changed me forever and changed me for the better. So while it's sad, it doesn't have to be bad. That's all I've got to say. And everybody can find their own meaning in this journey.
There you go, Doug.
I'd love to talk with you, Doctor, about Aneka as well.
Yeah, we'll get together. I mean, you're right down the road from us, so we'll definitely keep in contact. And if you're interested in finding out more information about Doug's book, Beezer and Boomer, you can find him on Facebook, and you can find him through his website, beezerandboomer.com. We'll put a link up on our website as well after tomorrow. If you're interested in finding out more about the Dog Doctor Radio Show and this topic, you can download us anytime through iTunes. Just search Dog Works in that search bar, or go to blogtalkradio.com/dogworks. Michelle?
Doug, thank you so much, and many thoughts and prayers go out to Beezer, Boomer, and Coral, and I'm looking forward to developing a nice training relationship with Dory.
Thanks so much for having me on. It's really been my honor.
Take care, Doug. We'll talk soon. You're
bye
listening
bye.
To the Dog Doctor Radio Show, part of Twine Group Media. Next week, we're going to talk about canine dementia with our vet, Dr. Holly Cogswell of Aurora Animal Hospital. Michelle, what can you tell us about next week's show?
Well, next week's show is very important and endearing to you, as it's taken you just about a year to understand and accept that Aneke does have canine dementia, something that I've mentioned to you quite a few times, and you just kept saying, dogs don't get dementia, dogs don't get dementia. And then when you did the CBS4 editorial for them on canine dementia, you really sat back and saw what was going on with Aneke that's been going on with him for quite some time. So the show with our vet, Holly Cogswell, will be very special, and that's your show.
So that will be next Saturday morning, 9:30 a.m. We're going to be brought to you live at the Aurora Animal Hospital. So if you have any questions or concerns about Beezer and Boomer or anything else, just send us an email at live@dogdoctorradio.com. My name is Dr. Robert Forto, and you're listening to the Dog Doctor Radio Show. As I say always, never forget your dreams. We'll see you next week. Goodbye.